Bitch, maybe. I'll just slap the roof. This baby's only got 40,000 miles on it.
My stepfather, rest his soul, he was a middle-aged car salesman that drank Michelob, so that's where the reference came from.
Oh, no shit.
Okay. Yeah, that was his beer of choice.
The best thing was Saturday I get to the bar for the Badger game, which they looked fucking great. Whooped Michigan's ass. But I sit down and the bartender comes over. It's right before the game and the bar's packed and no one heard me order, but I ordered. I'm like, give me a grapefruit White Claw and a shot of Jameson. So she comes over with the White Claw and sets it down and like three guys start giving me shit. And I just looked at them and then she comes back with the shot of Jameson and I look down at that. And then by the time I turn my head back around, they just shut the fuck up.
Nice.
I'd still bust your balls for the White Claw. That's just me.
You got a White Claw and a shot of Jameson. I guess we'll call that the Amber, huh?
Is that why?
Because she's half white.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, so it's only half white girl. That's the whole point.
Well, what's Jameson, though?
Well, she's half black, too. Well, because it's dark skin.
It's darker, yeah.
Yeah, it's darker. It's brown, you know?
It's okay. One of those brown liquors.
Never mind. Yeah.
You could have been whiskey. It could have been a bourbon. It could have been a scotch. The joke still works.
Apparently not.
I think he forgot Amber was half white. And that's why he was thrown off.
Never mind.
Should we just call it a Michael Jackson?
No, there will be no Michael Jackson slander on these airwaves, gentlemen.
No, it's not just really James slander, Brown.
It's more just funny.
James Brown. That's funny.
What are you going to do? All right. You guys ready to push offshore and lead this ship astray into the ocean?
Let's go for it. 1990 or 1986 New York Met.
Yeah, no, drop the music. Get it started.
It's another Kingpins. Fuck off.
That was just salt.
Got holes in different area codes. Area codes. Holes. In different area codes. Area codes. Now you thought I was just 770 and 404? I'm worldwide, yet act like y'all know. It's the abominable ho man. Globe Trot International Postman, neighbor Dick Dope Man. 718s, 202s, I send small cities and states, IOU. 901, matter of fact, 305, I'll jump off the G4, we can meet outside. So control your hormones and keep your drawers on, till I close the door and I'm jumping your bones. 312s, 313s, 215s, 803s. I'll read your horoscope and eat some hors d'oeuvres. 10 on pump one, these holes is self-serve. 757, 410s, my cell phone just overload.
I've got holes. I've got holes
in different area codes.
Area codes.
Holes.
We shows.
Holes.
Shows.
A holiday, so stop the violence and put the fofo away. Skeet you the holiday. 504-972-713. What you gonna do? You checking out the scene? I'm checking a hold and I with perpendicular vehicular homicide. 314-201. Too much green, too much fun. I Bangkok in Bangkok. Can't stop, I turn and hit the same spot. Think not? I'm the thriller in Manila. Slong in Hong Kong. Pimp them like Bishop, Magic, Don Juan. Man, after Henny with a Coke and a smile, I just pick up the motherfucking phone and dial. I got my condoms in a big ass sack. I'm slanging this dick like a new jack. Biatch!
Is it cause they like my gangster wall?
Gangster wall.
Is it cause they like my gangster tall?
Gangster tall.
Cause they like my handsome face.
Handsome face.
Is it cause they like my gangsta way?
Gangsta way.
Ooh. Whatever it is, they love it and they just won't let me be.
Won't
I handle my fears. Don't rush me, just relax and let me be free. Whenever I call. Come running 212 or 213. You know that I ball. Stop running or I'll call my substitute clean.
I've got holes
in different.
USA, TNT, hey, Fox Network, XS TV. Oh, we got pro wrestling, and it's just all over the globe. Yes, it's pro. Anyway, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod Is War. Pod Is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Use your head, you shall. It's a hell of a time in the wrestling business, and we're going to get to that momentarily here. But before we do that, again, use your heads and show your favorite website on the web for news, reviews, and analysis of the wild, weird, wonderful, wacky world of wrestling by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official chair shot t-shirts. We've got them in all shapes, sizes, and colors. We've got the King Baron Corbin Suck shirt, my personal fave, Jesus Did the Job, Save Tag Team Wrestling, and a bunch of other cool designs that are for the wrestling fan in your life, even if it happens to be you. So do us a favor, pick up two. What the hell? Again, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you, thank you. And please, gentlemen, this is kind of the calm before the storm, and these waters are going to get a lot murkier and a lot rougher. My name is Mr. Velvet Pipes Christopher Platt, and as always, to help me navigate through those waters, I've got Mr. Alt-Right Andy himself, Andrew Snowflake Blast.
Jesus Christ. All right, Andy. Don't try to make that a thing. Stop trying to make that a thing. Let's not make that a thing, okay? Can we just not? Sheesh, I'm gonna have to shave my head and like maybe put like little swastikas in my beard or something like that if we keep this up. Can't we just not?
Actually, it oddly enough, it may be an improvement from your normal smart tech or Sprint phone salesman look that you'd be sporting.
I mean, I'd still have to go to work in the smart tech outfit essentially, while also having the shaved head and the swastika face. The whole American History X plus smart tech might not work out too well.
Shit, you'd probably get a raise. But also here with us today is Mr. Moderator himself, the one, the only, Mr. PC Tunney.
Bro.
Hey, everybody. Welcome me to the show.
That's kind of what we were doing.
Yeah, hi.
Well, that was pretty high. That was higher energy than usual. Good job.
It actually was. I got to give you that.
Mm-hmm. Go Brewers.
Oh, that's why. That's why. How's the Brew Crew doing?
They're winning a lot lately. I think like 16 out of 18 now.
So pretty, what are y'all looking at? Are y'all looking at a wild card or you still got a shot at the division?
No, three games back with five to go in the division, but magic number is now one for the wild card. So any Cubs or Brewers, you know, win or loss will do the job there. So I'm sure we'll talk more about that next week, as that wild card game would be a week from today or whatever day it is that we're actually recording.
That's fair, because the Tribe are right in the midst of that as well. Last time I checked, they were tied with Tampa Bay for the second wild card spot.
Big W tonight for the Tribe. 11-0, I think they won.
Nice. Even though they ain't going to do shit if they make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, you never know. Those are the years they surprise you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, especially Cleveland, man. I find the lower the expectations, the better they perform. They still break your heart in the end, but still. I just don't have much faith in the pitching. I think it's overrated, and they can't hit for shit. I know they went and got Puig from the National League to try to bolster that lineup, but I don't know, man. I just don't think. I think the Yankees and Houston are just better.
Yeah, it's looking like a three-team race for the most part between the Astros, Yankees, and then the Dodgers in the West. They're looking pretty damn dominant, but it is baseball, much like football, unlike basketball, anybody can win it.
Touche. All you need is a couple hot pitchers, and you can ride that to the chip.
True.
Just like hockey and a goalie.
Just like, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. He just snatched him again. I don't even remember what I was about to say. I have nothing to say because he took it, so what was I going to say, Tony?
I got your nose.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez. I certainly wasn't going to say that.
No, you weren't. Even I wasn't.
No. Fellas, how you feeling feeling, man. We are on the precipice of a interesting time in the business. We're literally about a week out from all the shit just hitting the proverbial fan.
This is a fucking boring week. Let's hurry up and get to next week, for fuck's sake. We're going to talk about some meaningless bullshit here for the next hour, folks.
So you don't like the go-home week? You think the go-home week is boring?
What's going to happen this week?
It's all building to next week.
Yeah, anticipation. That's the best part of being a wrestling fan, is the anticipation, right?
It's the anticipate.
Now, if you're a WWE fan, the best part of wrestling is the night after the pay-per-view.
Or the night after, or the week before the whole industry changes?
No, it's not going to change as much. You know, let's just talk about it. Don't worry, I'll get in there.
Ooh, all right, going to get in. That's nice.
I'll get in there like swimwear.
Well, if that's the case, let me get out then. If he's getting in, let me get out.
I wasn't going to pee in the pool or anything, motherfucker.
There's enough room for everybody in this pool. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, I got to put my swimming suit back on now, too?
That'd be appreciated, yes. You should be wearing pants during this broadcast.
Right, unless you just want to stay in the deep end, you go do that.
If you don't want to wear pants, man, then cut your camera off, okay? Because I'm pretty sure Andrew's sitting up there in a wife beater and some tidy whitey Fruit of the Looms.
No, I wear boxer briefs, sir. Not tidy whiteys. Come on. What the
okay.
fuck?
And okay, and they're probably dingy at that. Not like shit stained.
So what is it? Like, if it ain't tidy whitey, it ain't righty? Is that what it is?
No, if it ain't tidy, it ain't whitey. I don't know, man. I was trying.
So I never turn my screws or anything left because it's always righty-tighty.
I don't know, man. I try, man. They can't all be winners. What the hell?
No, okay. I'll give you that one. Yeah. Let's get to the first topic before we try to think of more awkward segues.
All right. Before we jump in here, I guess we're going with a promotional theme this week. So we'll start off with the WWE. Gentlemen, let's approach the WWE in this fashion this week. Obviously, The Fiend Bray Wyatt is probably the biggest thing they have going. And then on the other side, with the women, Becky and Sasha, continuing that feud, in my mind, is the other biggest thing going. Now, interesting enough, the odds for these matches came out. So if you're a bettor on the WWE, I don't know why the fuck you would choose that to bet on. But right now, Bray Wyatt is minus 500, so he is a 1-5 favorite, and Sasha Banks is minus 300, so she's a 1-3 favorite. Gentlemen, do you really think both these titles are going to change, and which one really needs it more?
Well, speaking of title changes, PC, on Black Twitter, we're also already mourning the loss of Kofi Kingston's title reign. This is like it's like the march to the inevitable. Like, we know it's going to happen. We know that it probably should happen. It's what's best for business. But goddamn. And we know it had to happen sooner or later. And who better than Brock? But goddamn. It still hurts, man. It does. As far as the Universal title and the women's title, I think Sasha's a shoe-in, I think, to win at Hell in a Cell. Because I don't know if Becky Lynch is still going to be on Raw after the draft. I mean, there's still, you know, a lot of shit going on and a lot of pieces that need to be put into place. But I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up on the Blue brand. So I could see Sasha having the title reign there. As far as the Fiend Bray, this one's a little more complicated because I feel as if he should win. And if he doesn't win, it's going to do irreparable damage to the character because it goes from this hot-ass Fiend who's, you know, this character is tight as fish grease right now, and if he loses so early on in his reintroduction, he kind of runs the risk of turning back into Bray. So I want Bray to win. I think Bray should win. Whether or not Bray will win, especially considering how bitch made Seth Rollins looked on Monday night.
Just Monday? Seth Rollins has looked bitch made since he's been Becky Lynch's bitch for the last like 3-4 months.
So she hits him from the back. That's what you're telling me. If there's any hitting going on, because I'm just saying.
Hey, maybe the only hitting's like a donkey punch. That's from the bank. You know, that works.
Maybe they just work out together.
Oh, Becky.
Maybe they just work out together and eat and arm wrestle.
Maybe they just cuddle a lot. Maybe it's that kind of relationship.
I gotta be honest with you. Yes. I bet you they're fucking all the time.
Well, one of them's not good at it then. I'm not sure which one, but they've got no chemistry and both characters have started falling a little flat. Becky's still Becky, so people still pop for her, but Seth is fucking terrible.
Relationship wise, as long as Becky's the one that's not good at it, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, contrary, corn fritter.
I'm going to disagree with that one.
Well, somebody just ended a drought, so congratulations to Mr. Tunney on that one.
That's why he's like, it don't matter, because as long as water's wet, Tunney gonna play ball. You get my drift?
that was a slump breaker comment right there, brother. And I'm not mad at you. I congratulate you. I'm not mad. I'm just saying.
You have to agree that from a man's perspective, it's not as disappointing when it's not up
it's
to the standard.
It's more disappointing. No. It's more disappointing because it's you kind of come from the perspective of a dude can get off to his own hand, so our standards really aren't that high. And when we're still disappointed and she's not good, then you just start rethinking life. Well, My worst experience, I stopped and I kind of had this introspective moment where I'm like, did I just forget how to do it? Am I just fucking terrible? What is my life? I then rebounded nicely and found out that it wasn't me. But that's not the point. Like, it just shatters a man's world, at least in my perspective, because men usually set the bar kind of low, you know?
Typical of Andy over there to go a branch too far. I got to go back and agree with Sonny on this one. It's much more disappointing to the woman if the man ain't shit. And fellas, let me tell you something out there, man. Listen to your Uncle Chris on this one. If you don't feel like you can bring your A game that evening, it's different if, you know, y'all been kicking it for a while, that's your significant other or you're talking or, you know what I mean? Like, if there's some sort of foundation and relationship there, that's different. But if you're just getting your rocks off, if you don't feel like you can bring your A game, trust me, don't even pitch at all. Because women talk. So not only are you going to screw yourself up with that woman, but you're going to screw yourself up with every other woman that she knows in the vicinity, especially if you go to like college or something like that. Like, yeah, man, if you don't feel like doing it, if you can't bring your A game, don't do it. And that those are words of wisdom straight from the man, my father, Bobby Walker himself, R.I.P.
And listen, if you're having a bad night, nothing's wrong with, you know, talking about your relationship with your mother.
Everything is wrong with that.
Yeah, there's no. Come on. All right. Yeah. Anyway, back to wrestling. So, yeah, I agree with Chris that Sasha's probably a shoo-in for this. We're done. We're talking about wrestling now. So Sasha's probably the shoo-in. And I don't like the fact that they pushed Bray to the Universal title scene so quickly for the same reasons that Chris brought up, that if he loses, it's just going to look like Bray all over again and no one's going to give a fuck and people are going to become disenfranchised immediately. But I'm honestly just a little saltier that they did our finish on Raw instead of at Clash of Champions. What the fuck was so hard about the Fiend interfering before the finish of the match and just, you know, going after Braun or going after both of them? That should have been the Clash of Champions one. Then that gives them an out for the Fiend to lose by not actually getting pinned or whatever. Now we've got this weird schmoz where it might end up still being a three-way if they want to just interject Braun because of reasons, but I don't know. I mean, the Fiend's the hottest thing right now, and if you don't put the belt on him now, then when?
Yeah, I agree that, yeah, they, you know, this was way too soon for that push, but you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Ryback when Cena was hurt, Punk was champ, and they needed a contender for Punk. And Ryback was hot as hell at the damn time. He was white hot. I never got the Ryback thing, but it was similar to the Goldberg thing. And the Mellon Farmer got over. And they put him in that match, and They wasn't tried it? To protect him as much as they could, but the bloom was off the rose after, you know, two or three pay-per-view losses.
Yep.
Wasn't the one he was supposed to actually, like, everybody thought he was going to win the title finally? Wasn't that, like, a cage match against Punk and Cena was the referee or something like that?
No, I think that was the one where the Shield made their debut, wasn't it? Because you remember, Shield was initially supposed to be Punk's group, according to Punk. And I think that was the one where they made their debut dressed in, like, I don't know what they were dressed in. They were wearing black slacks and black long-sleeve T-shirts. They looked like looked like the bad guys from Die Hard. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I remember them doing that, you know, stopping Ryback from winning.
They look like the International House of Terrorists.
Oh, Jesus. Why did you have to go there?
I thought I would get a pop from Andrew, at least. I thought he'd go, you know, his little laugh.
Oh, why? Just because alt-right and you brought up terrorism? So I'd be like, No,
I just thought it was a funny joke because that's how they were dressed.
Now people we really don't want to listen to this podcast are listening to this podcast.
Oh, I just tripped the wire, Teddy.
Good job. You did.
I can hear the ticking now.
DPP just texted him because he's the Fed, so he knows we're onto him. That's how it goes.
Gave my informant away. What's going on? Trying to get some sleep over here. Can you guys behave?
Shut up.
He's a scientist now. Did you know that?
He's a scientist. What do you mean?
He's officially
like Bill Nye or like a real one?
He's like officially, that's his title, scientist, like something scientist at Durco Aerospace or wherever the fuck he works.
Wow.
Yeah. Is it rocket scientist? Because that'd be awesome.
No, I don't know, whatever.
Probably, it's probably more along the lines of eugenics, but, you know, I don't know. I'm spitballing here.
But that's his official title is some kind of scientist at work now. So yeah. Instead of his
eugenics.
Instead of having to deal with his fake architect title, now we gotta deal with his real scientist title. His
real scientist title. He went from the architect to the goddamn overachieving son of a bitch. Shout out to DPP though. Congratulations, man. It's all love. You know it's all love, man. But yeah, okay, as far as the championship, yeah, I don't know what else we can say. Is anybody else excited for Rey Mysterio to get a title shot next week on Raw? Is that just me? I thought that storyline was done really well. It ties into his losing streak and him not thinking he got it. So now he's got the biggest of all shots to go win the title. I mean, he's probably not going to, but it's a nice TV angle.
I'm excited.
That's been one of my complaints about Raw anyway, is that it's not a fluent show. But they actually have like storylines that make sense and have payoffs and shit like that. And I think it's kind of cool.
He liked my tweet, so I'm excited.
Yeah. It is a good storyline for TV, but it feels like an excuse to just have Bray collect another legend. So I feel like we're not going to get a real finish. And that bothers me slightly. Because if you're going to use Ray, I'd like him to get a real match in there when you know he can still go. We've seen him go against a whole bunch of different people recently. So that's my only gripe about the whole situation.
Well, it's a good story, though. I was thinking that Bray was going to add Hogan to his collection of souls, you know, kind of like the Island of Dr. Monroe and shit. Is that the one, or is that Apocalypse Now, where Marlon Brando had the skeleton necklace around his neck?
I think that was Weird Island of Dr. Monroe with Val Kilmer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, that was Dr. Moreau.
Brother. I'm sorry, Hulk. I can't believe I did it. You know the next vignette.
Okay, so we ended this on a Dr. Moreau reference. That's different. All right, can we just go to number two, whatever that one is?
Well, okay, hold on, man. Is there anything WWE related that we missed, man, that just needed to be talked about?
No.
Not really.
All right. Well, the move to Fox is next Friday. I feel like somebody should bring it up. The fuck?
They brought it up enough.
Yeah, it'll be on the show. It'll be on the chairshot.com on Pot is War next week, Thursday night.
The day before it debuts. Okay, cool.
When the fuck else would you want to talk about it? It'll be literally available 24 hours before the preview. You got me all flustered.
Fine.
God damn it, motherfucker.
Fine.
Jesus Christ.
In times like these.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Andrew, seriously, what the fuck? Why did you make me play that?
What kind of that or Switchblade? They're the two biggest things coming out of New Japan. So why would you not want a little bit of Jushin Kishin mix up with the Control Terrorism Unit, you know, theme? I'm perfectly okay with that.
What in the name of buy your season tickets to your 1990s Midwestern professional basketball team today music is that?
That's Liger's theme song. How do you not know Liger's theme song?
Because I just watch him wrestle. Clearly, I didn't pay attention to the music. And
it's based off a 1980s anime, so of course it's going to sound very 1980s. Early 90s-ish, you know?
Yeah.
It's very true to form, being the, you know, the Beast King superhero anime character that he is.
But let's get to the shit, man, because I didn't watch the match, obviously, but I saw the clip where the reveal was made, and I thought that was super cool.
The coolest part about this, to me, was, yeah, the gif that's been going around with Suzuki putting him in the sleeper hold, and then he nutshots him, which is very not like Liger, takes the mask off to reveal the all-white Kishin demon again, and gets the spike and tries to impale
the man. Jesus Christ.
That was almost beat for beat what happened with Muda in 96, where Muda took off the mask, revealed Kishin, misted him, he got a spike, got a table. The only difference is Muda ended up winning that match because he dodged the spike and then ended up being able to hit his moonsault. Who knows how this Suzuki one is going to end, but Suzuki looked like he done saw a ghost or shit himself or something like that. Like, that was good television right there, just watching everybody. Even Liger's teammates didn't know what the hell to make of it. Liger beat up Hiroshi Tanahashi a little bit on the way to chase Suzuki out of it. So, like, I love the fact that when Liger goes Kishin, unlike Finn Balor's bullshit demon, Liger completely changes his attitude, his moveset, his mannerisms, every little thing, he turns demonic. And it's beautiful. It's a great transformation.
Okay, well, number one, he looked amazing standing there chest naked, especially for a guy his age and as many wars as he's been in, he looked absolutely phenomenal. Number two, you couldn't help but to just throw a WWE dig in there. You couldn't help it, huh? You couldn't just like it. You had to throw a dig at WWE, huh?
Because Finn Balor's demon sucks. I think I've said that every time it's come up while we've been doing this show, except the one time against, who was it, Bobby Lashley, where he actually pulled off like power bombs and moves that weren't actually his normal repertoire. But normally it's the same fucking thing, except he's in paint and has a headdress. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Again, we could have just appreciated the legend that is Liger without trying to bury Finn Balor, who's just minding his business, probably off having a great honeymoon with his wife somewhere, not bothering anybody, being all inclusive and shit, and you still just want to shit on the man.
I mean,
want to shit on WWE for no reason.
Let's be honest. If he's on his honeymoon, is he really all inclusive? Would you want to be all inclusive on your honeymoon?
I am going to plead the fifth in the fear that I may incriminate myself.
I'm just working with the words you gave me. That's all.
You
and I'm. Go ahead.
Never mind. I'm going to skip this one.
Yes. I'm only so much inclusive, but I can't be talked into being inclusive. And for that reason, I'm going to plead the fifth.
I have a one penis in the room rule. So, yeah.
Oh, no. That's, yeah. I agree with that.
It's just my rule. You can have whatever kind of rule you want to have. I'm okay with that, but that's my rule, and you have to be okay with that too.
Yeah, see, that didn't even come up in my head, so that lets me know where your head is at.
What's that?
It's all good. It's all love.
I mean, you said all inclusive. Well, I mean, come on, think about it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stop talking, and hopefully Andrew can fill the void of silence. I'm not very, he said nervously.
Let's talk about Ricochet.
Funny. I'm enjoying where this is all going. That's all.
Oh, I'm Jesus trying to moonwalk Christ. About this melon farmer, man, because I know where right. this could possibly go.
Let's moonwalk our asses up to this, the second biggest situation from New Japan. Naito lost to Switchblade, Jay White. Look at that shit. Now, I know you've been coming around to him more, as have I, because I wasn't exactly his biggest fan, but he's become a fantastic heel, and just the smarminess and the fact that both characters are very similar, and it was like this weird buddy comedy turned rivalry, turned feud, turned... They acted like buddies, and they hated each other all at the same time, even during the match. It was fucking wonderful to watch. Like, it was just funny, good character work, a solid match. Like, it's good shit, and now White's a triple crown champion in New Japan. He's won the US, the heavyweight, and now the Intercontinental. So good year for AJ White.
I mean, both of those guys are tremendous talents. And we had a talk last week about, you know, the cool factor lacking in wrestling. Naito's one of those guys that is still cool. He, you know, everything about him is just cool. I like his character. I dig his character a lot. And the same thing with Jay White. You literally took the words out of my mouth, man. I've done a complete 180 on him, and he's had a hell of a, 14, 15, 16-month run here. And I think that the Intercontinental title is actually a pretty good spot for him. It keeps him in a marquee position because – I'm not going to say New Japan is top heavy, but there's some guys in line in front of him that, to where he's probably not going to sniff that title for a while, but he also has that credibility as a top guy because he did hold the title. So the Intercontinental title, that's a good spot for him right now, and he's going to be just fine. I'm looking at you, Ibushi. I'm expecting big things come January from my man.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I'm really curious if they're going to have Ibushi beat Okada and then drop it on the second day to whoever the Intercontinental Champion is. Because that whole double champion thing, it's funny how everybody's like latching on to Naito's initial idea. And Jay White said now he wants to be double champion. Zack Sabre said he wants to be triple champion because he's the revolutionary pro-British champion. And it's just, well, funny.
You tell Zack's ass to go eat a steak and then come holler at me.
Oh, you watch
he's
your
vegan.
Mouth.
He won't do that.
Oh, Jesus. No wonder. That makes perfect sense. Old, I mean,
that's the whole point. He needs to keep his slender swimmer's figure so he can get people all those knots and those submission holds and just joke you out.
But I think
it's from Sunday.
You know, for the last maybe 5 to 6 years, and you know, you're more versed in this than me. You and Meltzer, so y'all could probably talk about this more better than I can. But you know, for the last maybe 5 6 years, there has been a strong argument to be made that Kota Ibushi is pound for pound the best wrestler in the world. Only, you know, federations and organizations were only going to push him so much because of his refusal to commit to anybody other than Kenny Omega. So, but the fact that he signed with New Japan, I don't see why they won't strap the rocket to his ass and just go all the way with it.
Yeah, you're not really wrong about that. Like, everybody's been high on Ibushi as one of the elite talents for more than even 5 years, like going back to his DDT days and when he was off and on with New Japan, and everybody thought he was going to win the Cruiserweight Classic, but because he wouldn't sign with WWE, that's why he didn't, which furthers your point. And
hell, he got Cedric on. That's how damn good he is.
that's a really good point, actually. But yeah, so
no,
Ibushi's damn good.
Because I love Sid, but you know what I'm saying.
Sid's good, and he has personality, except they don't let him show it as often as they should. Maybe that'll change since he's had a little bit more of a larger role. But if he's given time to actually shine, he's actually got personality and athleticism unlike Ricochet, who's all athleticism and no ability to talk. So okay, maybe they should pair them together or something.
Well, number one, there will be no Ricochet slandered on these airwaves. Number two,
I can't believe he can't talk.
I know, but goddamn. I can't believe that we actually agree on Cedric, man, because I've been on record and people disagree with me on that. I say there's charisma there. There really is. And you can he oozes it. Like, you could just see it coming off of him. Plus, his actual story is really good. If they just let that rock. I think the guy was actually out of wrestling, working a normal job, and then he had to lose like 20 pounds or something like that just to make the weight for the Cruiserweight Classic. Like, his actual story is really good fodder. And I don't know, he's been losing a couple of matches here on Raw. People are trying to say that he's being buried. Maybe they're going to move him over to SmackDown and explore his story a little bit more. Although, he seems to be a Paul Heyman guy, so I wouldn't necessarily want him to leave Raw, because who knows what's going to happen on SmackDown. But no, I'm just glad that you see that the man actually does have charisma, and they've just got to do something to tap into it. Or just let him go out there and do his thing and get over.
I think his biggest problem was much like how they initially build Ricochet. They just made him too smiley and to come off like he's just happy to be there. And it wasn't until he got that chip on his shoulder after Enzo got fired that you started to see the personality come out. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what they do with all the black wrestlers, Balls, if you haven't noticed. They're either happy-go-lucky, smiling, here to have a good time, or if they turn heel, they become monsters like Mark Henry. That's just what it is.
Didn't Xavier Woods come out like some kind of like old 70s like preacher man type thing against like Brodus Clay and take the funk? What was his initial gimmick? Because it was so stupid, right?
His initial gimmick, Brodus Clay let him borrow the Funkadactyls and the music, and he came out dancing too. And then he had that one brief period where he wore that Colonel Sanders suit with them Malcolm X glasses, and he went and recruited Kofi Kingston and Big E. And I'm thinking, okay, because, you know, the rumors have been percolating that they were going to bring back the Nation or a new Nation. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's do this shit. Let's do this shit. I'd be like, all right, come on, Truth. Let's get his ass, too. Let's get them all. And then you started seeing the Church's Chicken vignettes for the New Day. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? But to everybody's credit, they got it over. They worked their asses off. They sold a ton of merch. They made a lot of money. They drew a lot of money. And they pushed Kofi Kingston to the pinnacle of the business, which is the WWE world title, which he's unfortunately going to lose next week to Brock Lesnar. So thanks for bringing back my depression, Balls.
Hey, and see, in that case, right there, we went from talking about New Japan, burying Finn and WWE a little bit, and then we ended up talking good stuff about WWE on the New Japan topic. So look, it's not just all a cycle of burials. We're good here. Come on, it's equal opportunity, nice, balanced criticism.
So one thing I wanted to ask you, man, because I haven't had an opportunity to keep up with New Japan okay, as much as I'd like. Like, I literally have half the goddamn G1 on my DVR that I still need to watch. But, Moxley, I'm assuming he's going to be back soon. So what, does he just flip the title back to Juice in January? Is that what happens there?
It's looking like it's going to probably be October, because that's the Juice match at King of Pro Wrestling is Moxley and Juice.
Okay.
So Moxley will probably drop it there. And I think it depends on where they go with him, how many dates they want to have him wrestle, depending on how good the elbow is and all that other fun stuff. So he'll probably get a Wrestle Kingdom match if it's in his contract that he can. But I'm more concerned about where his health is at than how many times we're going to see him in New Japan. Just, you know, being honest about that.
Yeah, that's fair, because it was a staph infection, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, no shits are no joke, man. You mess around and die from no shits, man. So you're right, man. First and foremost, his health is of the utmost importance. But he's a wrestler too, man, and he's like a wild animal that's been, you know, that's breaking free from the zoo. So I'm sure he's going to try to get back as soon as possible. And frankly, there may or may not be some substances out there that can aid in his recovery. We'll just say
not in Japan.
Oh, please, man. He's a gaijin. They'll let him slide.
No, no. Japan. That's why Matt Sydal's not allowed back in Japan. They will blackball your ass and ban you from Japan for weed. Like, it's a big fucking deal in Japan.
All right, fair enough. That's cool. That's
I'm
cool.
Just letting you know, like, the drug tolerance is very low in Japan.
Yeah, because Bob Sapp was clean. Okay, cool.
That was a Nokiaism. That's different. And he's still big, so I don't know. He might be. I don't actually know.
So you think he was just naturally just a big mother farmer?
Or he could have juiced a little bit and just kept it, so he might have still pissed clean, you know what I mean?
I think he's a big melon farmer naturally, man, but I also think, yeah. Yeah.
That's like looking like Lou Ferrigno and like Schwarzenegger. They juiced, but they even said once you juice, if you kind of maintain the routine, you can maintain the body type for a while without having to hit the juice again. So
have you seen that Ferrigno? Could have been sad. Ferrigno probably still juicing, man. I think Schwarzenegger's now, he's like a size 28 pant, but
well,
Ferrigno's
yes.
still a big melon farmer.
Schwarzenegger's a little saggy, but yeah, Ferrigno's still looking good for being, what, like 65, pushing 70, whatever the fuck he is?
Yeah, shout out to Lou Ferrigno. I guess once we start talking about Lou Ferrigno, it's time to go to the next topic.
It probably is, yeah. Okay. Grabbed his glove.
Oh, Jesus. Speaking of bad songs.
Yeah.
What's your fucking problem?
That song.
It's corny as fuck.
Yes. I'm not even going to rap.
You know what happens next, right?
You replay it?
It's like you've heard this show before, Platt.
Oh Jesus! I don't know. I don't want to sit down and watch people play video games. Oh no, that's not true. You know what would used to be fun? Do you guys remember on ESPN in like the early aughts, they would show the Madden tournament and they'd have like actual football players playing each other in Madden and they'd be driving the bus to go play to go meet each other to go play in Madden. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, before they started shooting each other at that thing.
Yeah, before that, way before that. Yeah, when it was still friendly competition.
I don't know. This is also going to be my bias that Platt's going to easily be able to jump on, but I don't know. I'll give you the lollipop here. I don't know. Asuka's YouTube channel is pretty fucking adorable, watching her play video games and just do stupid shit. She's fucking cute as crap.
Well, come on, man. It's a cute female. It's an attractive woman. You can watch an attractive woman do damn near anything.
I mean, she struggled playing, like, the Super Mario Brothers theme on, like, a recorder, and she's just giggling her ass off. And that was, like, 5 minutes of her video. I'm like, I don't know why I was so amused by that.
Okay, that sounds corny, and I don't want to see Asuka in that light. Speaking of corny...
Speaking of women's wrestling...
Okay. Hey, it's a segue! Look at that! Points for you on professionalism.
Come on.
Bro.
AEW, we are on the week's eve, correct, of their debut, live television, et cetera, et cetera. And
the penultimate week before the debut, if you will.
He said penultimate. Connect the dots. La 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 la. Nyla Rose. Possibly media that or attention that AEW did not want.
Well, could you at least set the table for us before we start talking? Or you don't know what happened?
Oh, I know
you
what
want
happened.
Me to set
but
the
I plate? No, I know what happened. But
good.
I think it'd be better if Andrew told us about the derogatory things and nature of her comment.
Fair play, fair play. So, she had a troll on Twitter in one of her threads who basically used the commercial where, well, it's a guy, whatever that is, State Farm, Progressive. I get all those fucking, you know.
Oh, the Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, that thing. And so he basically just took the piss out of the fact that she's a dude by birth and, you know, transition into being a woman. So she decided to respond in an immature way with the whole, oh, did mommy not love you enough? Did daddy touch you when you know no place? Like that kind of like show me on the bear where the bad man touched you kind of thing, which that's just a bad look. Like, it's funny. I agree. It's something that, you know, we would probably even say here on this show. But when you're being pushed as the feature in the women's division, possibly the very first women's champion, depending on how the match goes. And you've got all this other stuff. And they haven't even done show one yet. And you're already kind of, you know, talking shit on Twitter like a 14-year-old on Fortnite. Like, that's a bad business look. You know what I mean?
Okay. I can't disagree with you in regards to it being a bad business look. This is a billion-dollar conglomerate. They're starting from scratch. Like you said, they haven't been on television yet. They need to be fostering as much goodwill as possible. All that is true, and it's just unprofessional. All of that is true, man. I can't disagree with that because you're absolutely right. But!
Ooh, the big but.
This is what y'all do. And I'm talking to you. If you're a troll, then I'm talking to you. This is what y'all do to these people on Twitter. These, I'm not going to say she's famous. I'll say known people. Or is she verified?
That's a good question.
It doesn't matter, man. We'll just go with known people on Twitter. We'll just say famous people, man, just for, you know, continuity, okay?
Sure.
You know, we'll use that term very loosely in this particular instance, in all these instances. But this is what you all do on Twitter. You sit up here and you constantly shit on these people and you keep poking at them and you keep poking at them and you keep poking at them and you say the most vile, disgusting, bass-ack words out of pocket, off-kilter shit to these people that you've never met and you would never have the testicular fortitude to say in their face if you actually saw any of them in public. These people, being people, defend themselves. And what do? Oh, my God, I can't believe you said something bad after I've been talking shit about you for months and you've been ignoring me. Listen, y'all, everybody on these airwaves knows, and if you've ever heard me for more than, I'll say, 30 seconds on any chair shot platform whatsoever, you know that I'm a shit talker. Point blank, period. I love talking that shit. But there's rules that apply to talking that shit. Now, one of the rules is you're free to talk your shit, but you don't get to dictate how somebody else reacts to you talking that shit. You can't determine, you can't dictate, and you can't judge them for how they respond to what you say. You see, because your words, they can't have consequences, but you can't. Them's the rules. It just is what it is, man. You're free to say whatever you want to say to anybody, but you can't dictate. You do not have the power to dictate how they are going to react to something you say. And again, man, and we rail on the culture now a lot. We do, man. Well, I'm sure we sound like grumpy old men to a lot of people out here. But this is the thing, man. Who raised y'all? If you're going to talk shit to people, you have to expect that that's going to be a response. And you look lucky this shit is now, you know what I mean, where people are, you know, where you have your camera phone and somebody rolled up on you and beat the shit out of you, you could sue them, so it's not pertinent. But it's just, it's way too easy to hate people nowadays, Andrew. I mean, think about it, man. Back in the day, if you wanted to hate Lucille Ball, okay, if you wanted to hate Cesar Romero, you know what I mean? First okay. off, you had to find
a piece of Joker. Good God, yeah. It was a piece of shit.
You had to go find a pen and some paper, right? you had to find an envelope. Man. You had to get some stamps. You know what I mean? And then you had to search for an address and hope that it made it there, because it probably wasn't going to make it there. It was probably going to be like, you know, CO, care of Cesar Romero.
Warner Brothers Studios.
You know what I mean? Like, it took a lot of effort to hate somebody back in the day. And you damn near got to respect it. If somebody was willing to go through all that effort, there's a begrudging respect that you earned for them, man. Now all they have to do is fire off a tweet in the confines of their grandmother's basement, and there's no consequences or repercussions. So I hate the people that throw stones and hide their hands. And people do this a lot to people online. They do this, you know, I have mixed feelings about Meltzer, but they do that a lot to Meltzer too, man. People get on there and talk all types of shit to Meltzer, and then when he fires one back, he's like the worst person that's ever existed in the history of the world. And I feel like this is what's going on with Nia Rose. So just to bring it full circle, Balls, yes, what you said was true. It was totally inappropriate. Excuse me, it was unprofessional. You're part of a billion-dollar conglomerate. You shouldn't have said that. You should have just ignored it. But hell. it's only so much you can take. And you know that poor woman's been taking enough shit since she made the decision that she wasn't going to be a man no more. So, goddamn it, she got you. Take your L and run along.
Yeah, I think the weird thing about all of this from just a talking point perspective is she came out with an apology earlier today or yesterday, one or the other, basically saying usually she doesn't let it get to her, but this just happened to catch her, you know, in a bad mood, and everybody has those kind of days, yada, yada, yada. But have you noticed that AEW just apologizes for fucking everything between Cody and taking the dog out when the mortars went off, or Cody starting the fucking puta chant during Triple Mania, which it's Mexico. Everybody was chanting it, and it's not necessarily derogatory depending on how it's being applied in context. The problem with especially like Spanish slang is context is king for that one. So puta can mean everything from bitch to being a homosexual slur.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those funny things where if you just think everybody's yelling something that's just funny or maybe even slightly derogatory but not that bad, you know, it's just how it is. It's a different culture. It's a different whole thing. But AEW just really seems to be on the apology fucking train. Is that just me, or have you noticed that too?
Well, it's growing pains, Drew. You know, they don't know what they're doing, and I don't say that disrespectfully. I mean, they literally don't know what they're doing. Nobody has done this before, and they're learning on the fly. They do seem to be on the apology train. I would say stand on your square. Like, I understand why people apologize nowadays, you know what I mean? Because that's just the culture we're in. I get it. Mm. But if I could offer them any advice whatsoever, I would say stand on your square, folks. Don't quit apologizing about every damn thing, man. Because if people know they have you over a barrel, they're going to keep you over that barrel. You know, a bully doesn't say, well, oh, thank you for giving me your lunch money on Tuesday. I was so famished, and I'm never going to do that to you again. Just thank you so much. As a matter of fact, here's the money back. You're just a great sport about it. That's not how that works. So, yeah, don't stop apologizing, man. All you need to – you're a wrestling company. All you need to worry about is going out and putting on the best wrestling product that you possibly can and let everything else – let all that shit roll off your back like water off a duck's back. But so, you trolls out there, man, you can't – those stones and hide your hands. If somebody responds to some fuck shit you say, hey, you got to take that L, man. If you can't think of nothing better, you got to take that L. You don't now get to say, oh my God, they said something to me and my daddy did touch me and now I'm triggered. No, man, you started that shit. But again, it's like in sports, man, the ref never catches the dude that did the initial offense. It's always the retaliation, right?
Yeah, that's how sports are. It's always the guy that swings back, not the one who pushes first. But I don't know. Growing up, I was always taught never to start the fight, just to finish it. But that's an older mentality, I suppose.
I agree, man. But and I've said it before, but it bears repeating because this is an important point for all y'all out there. Again, listen to Uncle Chris. If you're going to talk that shit, you can't determine how somebody's going to react to you talking that shit. And you got to take the good with the bad, the bitter with the sweet, the wheat with the chaff. That's just how this works. Quit trying to cancel every fucking body. Hell, this woman's been through enough. You imagine how... hey, mom, dad, I know I'm a dude, but I'm going to be a chick now. Do you know how difficult that conversation had to be for your pimply-faced, Tostina pizza roll face-ass talking shit about somebody on the internet and then getting mad when she fired one back at you? Fuck you.
You know, I'm just happy you brought back the Tostina's pizza roll insult. You haven't done that in, like, almost a year. Good job, bud.
Hey, man, to quote Michael Cole, it's vintage plat, baby.
Guess we can go on to the next topic. There we go. No, not Adam Cole, Michael Cole.
Huh?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
That was the wrong Cole.
Oh.
I am Sir Michael Cole.
My bad.
Yeah, that
but
one.
AEW, man, y'all got to relax, man. Y'all really do. Because you've got a rabid fan base that's going to rock with you, and they really do want you to succeed, and they're going to grade you on a curve if no other reason, than that they just want you to succeed. So you got that going for you. which is nice. Shout out to Bill Murray from Caddyshack. Now, you're also going to have some detractors because your fan base is so rabid and
what's the word I'm looking for?
Yes, that it's, you know, for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. So now the detractors are now annoying as fuck as well. But you ain't got to respond to all of them, man. Y'all got a lot of work to do, okay? You're going national next week, buddy. You're in the big time now. Now you're up in the big leagues, getting your turns at bat, all right? So that's what you need to be focused on. Don't worry about them trolls on the internet and that weird gift of Kenny Omega going back at Donovan Dokovic, which, whatever, that's wrestlers talking shit to wrestlers, man. That's different than wrestlers and trolls. You know what I mean? Wrestlers going at each other, that's just playful banter or whatever. You don't know what it is. They might have been lovers in a past life for all we know. But y'all need to focus on putting on the best show that you possibly can. And I'm excited to see what you're going to come up with, but that's where your focus needs to be. Don't worry about these trolls and these haters and these naysayers. They're going to be there regardless, man. And actually, it's a good thing because all publicity is good publicity. Just bunker down, figure out what the hell y'all doing, and just do that. Thought that was sound advice.
It is. I'm waiting for the transition.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Never know
use
what you
use your heads.
You never know what you motherfuckers. For heads. Fuck's sake. I never know when you guys are done. All right, I suppose just this one time I could give you guys a intro here into this topic.
You set it up perfect, though, too. You never know when we're done. Just like Impact. Impact's been dying for like 15 years, and it's still fucking around.
Not only are we going to have Monday Night Raw, Wednesday NXT and AEW and Friday Night SmackDown, but apparently Access TV will be airing Impact Wrestling every Tuesday.
Don't forget Saturday Night WOW, New Japan, and MLW.
Nope, I stand with what I said.
Well, and that's the other funny thing is we're not 100% sure if New Japan is staying with Access, which... You know, there's nothing that inherently says it shouldn't, but because there's still that weird tension between Impact and New Japan, I'm not sure if New Japan might not want to be shown on the channel anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
I still haven't heard any kind of confirmation or what their contract status was with Access to begin with. So that should be interesting on how that develops. But I think the most interesting aspect from this Impact announcement is starting October 1st, or yeah, I think 1st is the Tuesday, and then the subsequent Tuesdays before they go live after Bound for Glory, they're going to show the pay-per-views that they've had already this year on Access for free. So Homecoming, the hell was the other one? Rebellion?
Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory is the one in October. So, like, Rebellion and Slammiversary.
Slammiversary. That's what I'm thinking about. I beg your pardon.
How do you feel about them giving away things people paid $40, $50 for earlier in the year for free just as promotional tools for Impact?
I think it's brilliant, man, because, I mean, shit, man, it's like going to watch a movie in the movie theater. You really going to get pissed off because the shit show up on HBO 4 months later?
No, I'm just picking your brain on it because I know there's going to be some people out there going, I spent 50 fucking bucks on this back in January and now it's on TV for free and everybody can watch it.
First of all, you're a dumbass because you spent 50 bucks on a fucking TNA pay-per-view, okay? So let's just stop the fucking that topic road there, okay?
Okay, that's a great point, but you know people are still going to bring it up because that's exactly how people think nowadays, much like we touched on in a previous topic, that whole victimized mentality, complain about fucking anything and everything, you know this is going to be a reason to gripe.
It will, man, but fuck those people. Now, getting back to Tunney's more interesting point about, oh, you can't believe you paid 50 bucks for TNA pay-per-view. Listen, man, and y'all know I'm notorious for watching shows through nefarious means, so I'm not going to get here and throw stones at a glass house, okay? out, or I'm not going to throw stones out of my glass house, okay?
Chris Platt is notorious for being nefarious. That's your breaking news.
How's that breaking? All you have to do is know me for more than an hour.
No, see, when I do this... Then it's breaking news.
Okay, cool. So getting back to TNA Impact. I beg your pardon. It's no longer TNA. Number one, shame on you for calling it TNA. Number two, listen, man. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there like Mr. Tunney here. If you all can get your heads out your asses, your preconceived notions to the side, and come into the situation with an open mind. If we go back to the Broken Hardy saga through now, Impact has been putting on some of the most consistently entertaining wrestling of any promotion in the entire world. In the world, Craig. In the world, Craig. And they die for that shit. They really have. And it's a brilliant move. There's obviously going to be a hole on Tuesday nights. And the wrestling audience is now being conditioned to watch wrestling on a Tuesday night. So that's great. And putting the pay-per-views on there, man, that's showing people what they've missed out on. And there's been a lot of great matches, man. There's been a lot of good LAX matches on there that you can go back and watch. The ascension of Tessa Blanchard, who actually main evented, what was it? It was Slammiversary, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. She also had that great match with Gail Kim that you can go back and watch. Like, that's brilliant. Trying to get people piped up for seeing Impact. And showing them subsequently what they missed. Because I think a lot of people don't even know that Impact is still around. But then they'll be flipping. It's like, hey, Impact, isn't that Jeff Jarrett? But then, you know, this ain't Jeff Jarrett's Dixie Carter's Impact no more. Don Callis and crew has done a tremendous job booking. And I'm serious, man. If you haven't watched Impact in a while, you really need to check it out. It really is one of the most pound-for-pound entertaining wrestling shows in the world. And I only wish I had more time to watch it. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with my DVR, man. So we got Raw going to tape on Mondays. We got Friday SmackDowns. We got we got Impact on Tuesday, possibly. We got AEW and NXT on Wednesday. I don't know how I'm going to negotiate that yet. And then we still got WOW on Saturdays and possibly New Japan, which I'm a few episodes behind as is. So I don't know what's going to happen, man.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I do agree with you that putting the pay-per-view, that the marquee matches on there just to get people caught up to speed with the main event players or some of the more critically acclaimed matches or something like that, it's definitely smart business, especially since it's only probably going to be a two-hour version of the pay-per-views, which I think they all went about 3 hours or maybe like 2.5, 3. So like, it's probably not going to be the whole thing.
2.5, so, maybe 2:45 or something like that.
Yeah, they were between like 2.5 and 3. But no, you're right. And I've been covering Impact for the site, so I agree with you that the show has been good. The biggest detraction from Impact, aside from preconceived notions, is honestly that contract issue with everybody. Like, it seems like they can't keep people for like more than 6 to 9 months, and then suddenly they quit. Or then they're off TV, and then they have to just randomly shoehorn someone else in there. Or like Brian Cage's probably shoot injury, since he's been not really doing a whole hell of a lot for like the last 6-ish months, just kind of getting healthy, and they're still trying to keep him as the champion and keep that whole thing relevant. So I don't know. Like that's the hardest part for Impact. And then whenever Killer Cross comes out with his full-blown side of his story, that's going to be a gut punch to Impact too, I think, because I don't know if you follow him on Twitter at all, but he's already been kind of letting some of the things out, and I feel like it's going to cause a couple ripples, and I don't know if he's going to purposely maybe time it for when the Axis stuff gets rolling, but it seems like he's about to pop off with whatever his major gripes are.
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff on Twitter, and I'm curious. You know, I'm not going to lie, man. I ain't shit like the rest of y'all, man. I like this tabloidy shit, man. It's entertaining, man. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Yes.
But, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and especially since he's with Scarlett, and we know that Scarlett's time with Impact kind of wasn't the cleanest break. So part of his frustration could also be for like her personal frustration that he's kind of maybe going to try to convey in his own words. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, pillow talk, man. That's the strongest thing. They probably sat there and consoled each other at night, both talking shit about Impact. This is shit. They've probably been working on these speeches for the last, what, 6 to 12 months, kind of like how Moxley was when he finally got loose with WWE. He had been working on that speech for a while, so he knew exactly what he was going to say, and it helped to have a pro like Jericho kind of coax him through it. But yeah, but that's the wrestling business, man. There's nothing glamorous or spectacular about it. It's just that's wrestling, and WWE has more money than everybody, so they're able to throw money at problems to make them go away. But hell, man. 30 years ago, everybody operated like that, including the WWE. Like, that's just wrestling. You know, this is a dog-eat-dog world, man. What you want? And not to excuse TNA if they're doing shady, you know, if they're conducting shady business practices. No, there's no excuse for that, but that's wrestling.
It's a dog-eat-dog world.
Than music. Yeah, no different than music, no different than Hollywood, you know? No different than politics. No different than the church.
It's a dog eat dog world, and Dixie Carter's wearing milk bone panties. What are you gonna do?
Oh boy,
I'd hit it. I wouldn't eat it.
Well,
you're a dog. Too old, man.
She still held up decent for an old chick. You never know.
That shit probably tastes like a nursing home tapioca pudding.
She was not laughing. That old.
Nothing.
Come on,
tonight, man. Jesus Christ.
Nursing. You're making it seem like she's 70. She was like, what, maybe pushing 50 when she was on TV constantly? She still held up, okay?
Push 50?
Well, she looked that way, at least. I don't think she was much. Well, yeah, now I'm going to have to actually Google it.
Because I was thinking she was well in 50, like bordering 60 at the time, which she wasn't a bad looking woman. I'm not trying to say that, man. I'm just trying to get these jokes off that nobody's laughing at.
Well, maybe you should just calm down on them a little bit.
Let's see.
She was born in 64. So she's 54. So she was pushing 50 when she was at the top of Impact. See, I didn't think she was that old.
She was born in 64.
You son of a bitch, Sonny.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one.
PC, Tony, I swear to God, I love you, and we literally couldn't do this show without you, but you've got to be the worst moderator in the history of moderation. Yeah. Like, number one, on television, they have attractive women moderators, so, you know, you don't fit that bill. Number two, you don't like setting the table, you don't like giving us context, and then you do goofy shit like that.
Bro.
And goofy shit like that.
Topic number five!
You got highly questionable. There's highly questionable, and people love Poppy, and Poppy sets the table weird and doesn't always set it, and he's just funny. It's fine.
But Poppy is oozing charisma. Poppy is literally the show. There's no
watch
show
my son.
Poppy.
Watch my son TV show on ESPN.
Dale, Poppy.
See, I'm very intrigued.
Oh, very,
that's what we should do.
Very, very
we
intrigued.
We should start a CEO. Para
el Topico Cinco.
We need Topico Cinco to just be a CEO no section for things. Instead of like, yeah, that's your opinion, it needs to just be C. Oh, no.
Listen, I've already stolen from the Dan Le Batard show. Where do you think, observations come from? You know, so there you go.
Shout out to Le Batard. I actually like him. Andrew, on a scale of 1 to 10, man, how excited are you for TNA's debut? Or, Impact's debut on Access Tuesday nights, filling the void left by SmackDown.
You know,
which
I'm debuts gonna, I'm gonna
on
say,
Fox on Friday in Kofi Kingston's
a 7.5 just because I want to see how Bound for Glory goes, because I've already seen the pay-per-view, so I'm not going to follow it too much in the beginning of October, and then after Bound for Glory, we'll get a bigger picture of who's staying, who's going, if they put the belt on Sami Callihan, or how they fit Tessa in, because apparently Tessa's supposed to get a number one, like a shot at being in the Ultimate X match or some kind of like X Division Championship match, possibly. So they're setting the table interesting that Tessa's like all in intergender stuff now. She's like above the women's division and she's just been wrestling dudes. So it's interesting, and I just want to see how they set the table with Bound for Glory. So I'll say 7.5.
Well, she's arguably the biggest star that they have on the roster. So it would kind of behoove you to put her, you know, in a more marquee position. Personally, I'm with you, Drew. I'm a 7-Up man. The thing I'm most excited about is that I'll actually have an opportunity to watch this show, even though they'll end up just piling up on my DVR. But I have it there, and I have an opportunity to watch it because I didn't get pursued, and I wasn't going about to fuck with that Twitch shit. I'm cool.
No, that's fair. And I know Tunney's going to be like at a -5 or something like that because it's Impact.
That's why we weren't even going to ask him.
Mm-hmm. But the Tessa stuff is fun because, like, she's one of the few women that bring intensity to the ring, and she kind of wrestles like a dude. You know what I mean? Where, like, she understands how to get her emotion across and actually wrestle in an aggressive style that you can take her seriously while she's doing intergender stuff instead of look at it and go, oh, no, the pretty girl's getting hit by the guy. Let's boo because it looks bad. You know what I mean?
No, I agree completely, man, and she's a little bit bigger than most of the women. I'm like, she's not a giant by any stretch, but I mean, we're not talking about...
She's more muscular, too. Yes. That helps.
That's what I mean. I should have said thicker instead of bigger. She's thicker than a lot of the other women's wrestlers out here. Like, this isn't, you know, Sami Callihan versus Alexa Bliss, which there's no way in hell you could make that look psychologically credible. But no. Yeah, she wrestles a very aggressive, mannish style, and even her character is very aggressive and mannish. So yeah, it makes sense that she'd want to smack the shit out of a dude.
Yeah, I ain't upset with it at all. Would be interesting if she became the world champion at some point on Access and still be the WOW champion at the same time. I wonder if they'd do some kind of cross promotional thing there.
The world and WOW.
Yeah, think about that.
That was us wrapping it up, Tony.
Man, you guys are really bad at this tonight.
I mean, you could have added something too, but we know it's Impact, so you'd just be like, fuck it sucks.
Well, man, you're really bad at this every night. Excuse the fuck out of us for having an off night.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
What's that, Chris?
I'm not repeating myself, so you can cut me off.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I couldn't resist. I went back to an old gimmick. I apologize. I don't apologize, no, actually.
I just use my head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, I got nothing. Topic 5.
Where's Alberto Del Rio at?
I was going to say, we could have Platt take a personality quiz live on the recording here.
That's interesting. I don't know if it would make for good podcasting.
Oh, I've teased
Depends
him already.
On the questions.
Here we go. What do we got? Oh, Dr. Phil's personality test. Are you ready?
Jesus Christ. If you don't have estrogen in your system, you're automatically the villain when it comes to Phil. I ain't mad at Phil, man. You know, that's his fan base, man. I get it. I ain't hating.
Should we have Platt take Dr. Phil's personality test?
Well, how many questions? I was like, because sometimes those are misleading, and then they're like 50.
Yeah.
It looks like there's 10.
That's fair. Okay.
Right. How old are you? 50?
Shut up.
I can kick. I can punch. I'm 50.
I don't even know what that is, but that's funny.
That's from Molly Shannon and Saturday Night Live.
SNL skit.
I'm 50. I think Dan played that on our 50th show. Anyway, when do you feel your breasts, best, In the morning, during the afternoon and early evening, or late at night?
When do I feel my best? Probably late at night, man.
Okay. Question two. You usually walk fairly fast with long steps, fairly fast with small steps, less fast, head up, looking the world in the face, less fast, head down, or very slowly?
I don't know what answer this correlates to, but I walk with my head up very fast with long steps, okay, we'll long strides.
I'd take it with the head up one.
Fast with long steps. That's less fast.
Yeah, but the head up one is probably something more for being optimistic or looking towards the future.
Yeah,
so
but,
if that's what
but,
he wants
but
to
here,
affiliate himself with.
But here
no,
it says,
yes,
but here,
I,
no, no, no,
it's
listen,
a personality
listen, here, test. Here, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because here it
okay,
says sure. less, the thing says less fast, head up, looking the world in the face. Now, Chris is more fairly fast with long steps looking down on the world.
Wow, I wouldn't go that far, but Jesus. But
looking in your face has that whole poetic imagery to it, though. Because he don't take shit from anybody except the world.
But,
not even the world.
But the head up thing was important to me because I used to get on my nephew about that a lot. He would always walk with his head down, and I would tell him, "Yo, you're a man, put your head up. Don't walk with your head down. What's wrong with you?
Have some court vision, for fuck's sake. Don't dribble with your head down.
Have some court vision." For fuck's sake, don't be looking at the. Yeah, that's. I like that, Tony. I like that. That's
right.
A hoops reference, Balls. I know you wouldn't understand.
Oh, okay. Is that croquet?
Okay.
I said
question.
Hoops.
Question.
What
don't
is
even.
Hoops?
Don't even. Don't bother, Plan. Don't
is,
bother.
Is that an urban vernacular that I need to be aware of?
Question three. When talking to people, you stand with your arms folded, have your hands clasped, have one or both of your hands on your hips. Touch or push the person to whom you're talking, or play with your ear or hair.
I don't do any of those, man. I talk with my hands.
No, Chris totally plays with his ear like he's flirting like a 12-year-old girl.
I was about to say, only if I'm flirting with a cute guy, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He has to be chewing gum at the same time, too. Like, your eyes are so dreamy. Oh my God.
Okay, you have to fucking pick one, or Dr. Phil's going to come to your house. No, you see
okay.
here, we got a guy with a classic case that can't choose a goddamn answer.
All right. Read me the answers again.
Stand with your arms folded, have your hands clasped, have one or both of your hands on your hips, touch or push the person to whom you are talking, or act like a giggling schoolgirl, apparently.
I don't do any of those, though, man. I guess I would say stand with my hands clasped, for lack of a... Yeah, because I literally don't do any of those, man. I talk with my hands.
Then maybe you got one on your hip and one's going over here.
No, I don't have a hand on my hip, sir.
You're not a strong black woman?
No. I wish I had it in the queue right now. You put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip.
You dip, we dip.
All right, well, we're going to go have your hands clasped. That means you're just standing there, like, with your hands clasped.
Bro, what else am I supposed to pick, man? The rest of those
I think you're
trash.
More, I think, like, when it's one of your good friends, I think you're, like, poking them and pushing them while you're talking to them.
No, I might, like, put my hand on somebody's like shoulder, like I might put my hand on a guy's shoulder, I might put my hand, if I'm talking to a female, I might put it on her back or something like that, but I don't really get too I try not to get too touchy-feely, especially in today's society, man. I
he just likes to pontificate.
Which one do you want me to pick?
Hands more than anything.
Which one do you want me to pick?
Shit, I don't know, man. I'll let you choose that one.
Balls?
Ooh, dealer's choice. I mean, it's either clasp or touch. So, that's up to you.
To be fair, I probably touch more than I clasp, but I don't do either tremendously. Like, a lot, rather.
All right, it's been selected. Question four. When relaxing, you sit with your knees bent, with your legs neatly side by side, your legs crossed, your legs stretched out, or one leg curled under you?
I sit with my legs crossed. Like, I fold my left leg over my right knee.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. Question five. When something really amuses you, you react with a big appreciative laugh, a laugh but not a loud one, a quiet chuckle, or a sheepish smile.
Yeah, I know the answer to that one.
That's a big appreciative laugh.
Yeah, y'all know that.
When you go to a party or social gathering, you make a loud entrance, make a quiet entrance, or make the quietest entrance trying to stay unnoticed.
Fuck no, man. I walk in that melon farmer like I own the place.
Some of these
Did you even have to ask that question?
Some of these I'm just asking so everybody knows all the questions. You're working very hard, concentrating hard, and you're interrupted. You welcome the break, feel extremely irritated, vary between these two extremes. You're podcasting with PC Tunney.
Yeah. Oh, that's you tough, man.
You interrupt him constantly, so how do you think he feels?
I would say varying between those two extremes. Because sometimes I get irritated when I'm interrupted if I'm concentrating on something, but sometimes I do welcome the break.
All right,
and sometimes it's just not that serious. So, varying between the two extremes.
That's what I got you down for. All right. Which of the following colors do you like the most? Red / orange. Actually, let's just do it this way. It's easier. Red, black, yellow, green, purple, white, or brown.
Really?
Those no are all blue? The colors. Well, there's no purple. Blue? There's purple.
Does it say purple / blue?
It says dark blue / purple or yellow / light blue.
Okay, well, the blue. If there's blue in there, I'm going there. That's my favorite color.
Yeah, but which one, dark or light?
See.
This is the internal struggle. This is like the Star Wars shit.
This is why this quiz is bullshit, man, because it's not accurate enough. Like, I like baby blue and I like navy blue, but I like royal blue better than both of them. Like, in you know what I mean? Like, in the middle.
So green?
So it's green. There we go.
I'll go dark blue, man. Shit.
All right. This doesn't mean this is who you have to be for the rest of your life. You know?
I'm just trying to give the people an accurate portrayal. You know what I mean?
Once the internet says it, it's true, Tony. Don't you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, they got the internet on computers now. All right, two questions left. When you're in bed at night, in those last few moments before going to sleep, you are stretched out on your back, stretched out face down on your stomach, on your side, with your head on one arm, or with your head under the covers?
Stretched out on my back.
Last question. You often dream that you are falling, fighting, searching for something or someone, flying or floating. Usually have a dreamless sleep, or your dreams are always pleasant?
Flying or floating. That's actually very interesting, because I know I'm in a good headspace when I'm not scared to fly. Like, sometimes I'll be scared to go all the way up in the air, so I'll just kind of like float along, not all the way soaring. You know what I mean? But when I'm in a good headspace, man, I'm up in a way.
Huh. All right, let's see what we got.
You are a sociopath. Wow. Yeah, look that's at that.
Who knew, right? Hide your kids, hide your wife.
this is very unsurprising. The natural leader. Others see you as an exciting, highly volatile, rather impulsive personality. A natural leader who's quick to make decisions, though not always the right ones. They see you as bold and adventuresome, someone who will try anything once, someone who takes chances and enjoys an adventure. They enjoy being in your company because of the excitement you radiate. That line was the best one. And lastly, it says here, you are none other than the MVP, Mr. Velvet Pipes.
Right on, right on.
Yeah, that concludes right. Your survey.
I'd say it's fairly accurate.
So what's next week? I'm going to go on a Eliminate?
Oh. No, we're going to get the next bus out of retirement, and that's what it's going to do. Tony and I will be the ones like in the control room, and then we'll just keep sending chicks out for you to next. It's wonderful. Yeah, you said Amber's not going to be here for a couple days, right?
No. When we come get you, like old school, I'll have a mask on and I'll pull it up and I'll look at Amber and I go, if you see anybody about this, I'll fucking kill you. And then I'll turn back around and I'll be like, we'll have them on by 8.
Oh, my goodness, man. I don't know. Maybe it's the latent misogynist in me, but the possibility of nexting women just sounds amazing. It just... that sounds great, man. Ladies, I love you, but damn, that just sounds great.
There was Anywho, genius about that show. I'll have to give it to them.
I guess it's about time for us to hit that old dusty trail.
Ugh. Yeah.
Mr. Belaz, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you?
Well, you can find me on the Twitter at IWC War Chief. And, of course, you can always find me on thechairshot.com, writing and covering a whole bunch of God knows what, because I've just done way too much of that lately. Maybe I should slow down. I'm not really sure. Between New Japan and Impact, and
top 50 coming out, man? I really want to pimp that out, even though I wasn't able to participate.
Top 50 will probably be out sometime next month because I'm still tabulating everything, and then we have to get the article together. The who we have in the lead so far is interesting, which I'll tell you after we stop recording. But yeah, it'll probably be out in October, and then there will be a roundtable podcast to follow like last year.
Well, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You guys can find me, of course, on Twitter at The Real C Platt. But more importantly than that, make sure you all go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot t-shirts. If you enjoy the content that we provide you day in and day out, hell, even if you've just read one of our Twitter feeds and got a chuckle, show us some love, man. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. Mr. Sunny.
Hey, how's it going? Oh,
would you like to tell the...
Sure, yeah. No, I got it. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, at PC Tunney on the Twitter. I guess Hell in a Cell is coming up a lot quicker than I thought, so you'll find me once again on the Chairshot staff picks. I'm very excited for that. Hopefully we'll have at least 11 matches on this card, too. And DWI Podcast, that's back, I guess. So...
Well, Mr. Tunney, speaking of Hell in a Cell, I know what we won't have by the time we get there. A black champion. For Andrew Snowflake Blast, for the Commissioner PC Tunney, I'm Christopher Platt. Thank you guys for tuning in, and gals as well. Until next time, we'll see you later. Shalom. Hit it, Carly.
Now, you see what you got here is Carly Simon singing about how you're so vain.
Well, I don't think you heard me, America. Carly Simon said, I'm so vain, this song's about me. Not it.
I was serious about the Alberto Del Rio thing. I mean, he's about the only guy left out there that has some name recognition that's not attached to a company.
Well, because he damaged his name recognition. That's why. Between, like, the whole Paige shit, he's not going to be back in WWE anytime soon. And we know he burned bridges with Impact, and AEW is not going to have him in there with, you know, shit he said and or possibly did to Paige. That's just a bad look for their PC, you know, culture bullshit. So where is he going to go?
Yeah, I guess you got a point, man. I don't know, man. My opinion on that, I mean, because I recall that situation a lot differently. I know that we're in a culture where we're guilty until proven innocent, but I recall that he wasn't arrested for that particular incident, and she actually was on record saying that she was the aggressor. Granted, that was obviously a toxic situation, and they didn't have any business being together, but yeah, I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
No, you're right, and that's how I remember that situation, too. But then months later, he went down the petty train, and I think he posted a picture of his new girlfriend or whatever. They were out to dinner, and somebody made a page comment, or then he kind of said something like, you know, this one doesn't need drugs, or, you know, something like that, where he's just – it's not a good look on him, you know what I mean?
That's fair, man. You're right. He does have a little bit of baggage about him, or a little bit of baggage. So, okay, let me ask you this then. Who gets a second look first? Alberto Del Rio, Enzo Amore, or Big Cass, who apparently had a meltdown last weekend?
None of the
Enzo
above.
And Cass are kind of a package deal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. So, we'll do it like that.
So, we'll do – how about let's do Del Rio, Cass and Enzo, or Ryback? Because they've all got their own kind of stigma. Okay. I think Cass and Enzo probably have the most resale value, if we want to call it that, because they still keep themselves relevant. They're still popular in the hardcore, smarky Twitter kind of IWC fan base. And as I put in the review of the NEW Prison Break show, Enzo picked up some moves. Enzo knows how to wrestle now. He wrestled Flying Brian Jr., and it was actually a decent. Big Cass basically is just emulating 1997 Kevin Nash, and it works perfectly for him. So the styles, they've kind of come into their own, and they don't work a bad match, and they're still, you know, they're still themselves on the mic. So I think they've got the best resale value. What about you?
I agree wholeheartedly. There's still some steam in that team, and it wasn't that long ago that they were the hottest. They were the hottest act in WWE. So I agree with you.
Enzo won't let us forget that one. Yeah.
Touche. If Enzo's good at nothing else, it's putting Enzo over. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Like you said, they do find a way to keep themselves relevant. I don't even know if Ryback is interested in coming back to the business. I kind of feel like he's one of these guys that has an inflated sense of self. How he sees himself and his accomplishments don't necessarily match up. I don't know. He's a guy you could heat up if booked right, but it's been a while, and I don't know if he even gives a damn at this point. He might be happy just doing his little podcast and selling his protein shakes or whatever the fuck he's doing.
Well, from what he said on the Chris Van Vliet interview he did a couple months ago, his back or his neck or something like that was all fucked up. And he took time off to basically just go through like stem cell, like kind of whatever that is, like the replacement surgery kind of stuff. And apparently he's only at about 85%, and he's considering possibly getting back into the ring once he feels back to 100%, so to speak.
Okay, so what I heard from that was, show me the money, I'll give you the honey.
Yeah, that's kind of how I took it too. But assuming that there actually was an injury and all that damage that he's claiming, and that he's been working for like the last, what, 2-3 years since he's done anything independent on just, you know, going through the surgery or the stem cell stuff and all that other crap, like that's good on him that at least he's going to those lengths to repair himself. You know what I mean?
Well, of course there's injuries, though, Andrew. I mean, Hulk Hogan did a big boot and a leg drop, and he's bionic from the belly button down. Everything is fake.
I meant as drastic as Ryback is making it out to be, because everybody's going to have injuries, but it just depends on how bad and how bad they tell you. Those are usually two different things.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, shit is about to heat up next week. It's about to be hot as fish grease in wrestling, and I can't wait to see it all play out.
I hope it is. Like, obviously the first couple weeks are going to be hot just because it's new. And everybody's going to be clamoring for a war, because that's what people have wanted since 2001 when WCW closed down. People just want a war in the Attitude Era feeling all over again. Maybe they don't want the matches in the exact same tone, but they just want that competition and that idea of there's two things to watch and yada, yada, yada. So I just hope it maintains and that AEW doesn't just fall flat out the gate and just makes it go from a possible war to, you know, a beatdown.
I teeter and totter back and forth, man, between us being on a precipice, the precipice of a boom period, and just too much supply and not enough demand. So I don't know, man. And I'm one of the few pundits out here that will admit when I don't know shit. It's just going to be fascinating to watch how everything plays out for me. And I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. The one thing we do know, though, Impact will never die.
Oh, and the other thing we know is after. That's a good point to end it, yeah.
I just like Tunney's disdain from that. But it's true. I mean, Impact even has that t-shirt that says Impact, hard to kill. Like, they're selling that on PW or Pro Wrestling Tees or their own store. I forget. But it's fucking funny.
And now we know.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.